Seemed like earlier today my mind was directed to a passage of scripture found in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, and I'd like to read verses 20 through 22. This is the counsel and advice of a father to his son, and the words that he's going to bring out here were none other than the words that he had been directed to the Lord to present. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And really, if you noted that closely, there's a lot in those few verses. Number one, he says, attend to my words. And that's none other than the words of God and Christ. And then it says, incline thine ear unto my sayings, the sayings of the Lord. And this is advice that's not only good for those of old, but for us today. And then it says, a further responsibility is to not let them depart from your eyes, and you're to keep them in the midst of your heart. And so really, when you analyze this, this is very much a thing of involvement, a responsibility to each and every one of us, whoever you are and wherever you are. And all too often, maybe we haven't really fully availed ourselves of the responsibility that is ours. And these sayings of the Lord should be in the midst of our heart. They should be before our eyes. And really, when you really think on this, it's a little bit further involving, because it seems like of late we have so many things that have came up. And we all too often feel insufficient in our abilities and our capacities to be able to handle certain trials or problems or special needs of prayer or whatever they are. And really, here is the complete answer, broadened out naturally. But if we really keep these words and sayings of Jesus Christ and God before our eyes, if we really hearken unto these words, and if we keep them in the midst of our heart, then we'll be making more progress. And then the further beautiful hope that I like in this passage of Scripture, it says, for they are life unto those that find them. And this is not only the physical life, but far more important, it is the spiritual life that is vital to each one of us. That life. And Jesus Christ is the life of this world. And he is the one that you and I are to follow. And then you notice last year, listed here, and health to all their flesh. So really, there's a lot of promises contained in these few verses here. I've chosen tonight two other readings from Proverbs. This one is from the 2nd chapter, and it involves the first 8 verses of this reading. Again, a father to a son, saying, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee. And it's just like his words, and we know that his words had to be directed of the Lord. And you hide these commandments with you, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. And this is one of the things that I think people maybe have lacked down through the ages all too often, is not being able to make wise decisions. And many times, perhaps, we've said things that we wished we would have left unsaid. And if we'd had greater wisdom, we would have never said them to start with. And really, this thing of wisdom is vital. In fact, if you turned over to the next chapter of Proverbs and a lot of other chapters, you can read a lot about wisdom. And I don't plan to get too involved in it, because it really is a sermon in itself. and apply thine heart to understanding. Not only you incline your ear to wisdom, but you apply your heart to understanding. And that's the understanding that comes by serving God and Christ. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and man forever is seeking after knowledge of a worldly nature. And as I've mentioned and others have mentioned here, we're living in a day of great knowledge. In fact, every 5 years, I think knowledge is almost doubling or something like that now. It's going at a terrific rate, what they have really learned today and their capacity and capabilities. But in all this, it really hasn't availed man all it should have, because all too often man is relying upon this knowledge. And yet here, that is earthly knowledge. But here it tells us, if thou criest after knowledge, and that's a knowledge of these scriptures that give the way of life, what we spoke about earlier here, when it said, if you do these things, they shall be life unto those that find them. By keeping the commandments of the Lord, by inclining thine ear to the things of the Lord. If you liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. And so maybe here is something maybe we haven't been analyzing quite sufficiently. We're to seek for as we would seek for silver or gold or precious stones. And man has sought after these from the very beginning of time. In fact, today we're living in a time when some with a lot of money that they don't know what to do with are buying all the gold they can get their hands on and literally driving the price up to where it's an unreasonable amount that they pay for an ounce of gold, way over $400 an ounce. And people are really seeking after that. And others are putting their money in like diamonds. They think, well, here is security. And man, when we go to analyze this, this isn't the understanding of the Lord. It never was and never will be. Because the understanding of the Lord, as Jesus Christ of old says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves may not break through or steal. So there is where we're to lay up, not upon earth, and I won't go into all that particular reading, but we've been admonished in many times in the scriptures to seek the heavenly things. They are the things that will sustain us in the days ahead. They are the things that will give us courage. And I tell you, we're going to have greater courage in order to be able to survive in the time we live in, because we're going to be tried more and more. And we know our trials are on the increase. Each one of us would agree to that. I wouldn't have an argument with the person in here. All we have to do is just analyze the year in 1979. Right on the end of 78, which was a trying year, but this year is a more trying. And I don't know how much it will increase. I have no way of knowing, but I suspect considerable. But in all this, again, if we seek after the understanding of the Lord, we need not have any fear. If we seek this, just like people seek after the things of this world, not only silver and gold and precious stones and that, but people are seeking after all manner of things here. With great diligence, they seek after different things of this nature. Maybe it is a pleasurable thing that they can go out in the mountains and spend a few weeks and enjoying all this. And I'm not going to try to go into the rightness and wrongness of all this tonight. But again, when we analyze this, the people were as intent over their soul salvation as they were under these other things, would be making more progress, isn't it? Without a shadow of a doubt. When we do these things in their proper order, it says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So if you really want to know the knowledge of God, then you're going to have to do these other things in their proper order, just like I've outlined them here. And you'll understand the fear of the Lord. Well, it really means to reverence the Heavenly Father and hold Him in the awe and respect that is due His. Now, that's one definition of fear. Another more frightening definition is, if we fail to keep the commandments of the Lord, we better be afraid of what the Lord can cause to come upon such as do it and fail in this respect. So we better know what the fear of the Lord is. And it don't mean we have to sit and shake every time we hear the Lord's name or something like that. But I'll tell you what, if He come in our presence, I expect there would be some knees knocking tonight, including my own. But anyway, let's read on. For the Lord giveth wisdom. So if we really want all these things, we have to do the other. We have to make an honest effort ourselves. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And so we have scriptures in two books here and in other places, wherever they come. And we know that God reveals things unto His servants, the prophets. And that too is scripture. So wherever it is found, this is what we should follow that is directed of the Lord. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler, and I like to say a buckler is really a strength, to them that walk uprightly. And so the time has come when we need to analyze our individual selves, when we need to become more holy before the Lord and walk more uprightly. For it says here, He is a buckler. He is a help to those that do such as this. He keepeth the paths of judgment. And oh, how we need judgment among us. And one definition that I have always remembered for judgment is the ability to make a wise decision. That's one of it. It isn't always just a thing of condemnation. And this is a thing we really need, and preserveth the way of His saints. So really, there's a lot contained in this particular reading that I've just brought to your attention. And then I would like to turn right over to the third chapter of Proverbs and just pick out the fifth, sixth, and seventh verses. Further advice and admonition to each one of us. Trust in the Lord. Now you see how all these things tie together tonight. Sometimes I'm literally amazed how well different scriptures tie together. You can search them out and think on them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't depend upon your individual self. Don't think you're all that great, because God is able to bring down he who exalts himself. And He will. They will be abased. They will be brought down. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. It seems like of late I've realized more and more of my dependence upon the Lord. And I think perhaps many of the things of this year have been for a purpose in my own life, to show that I am totally dependent upon the Lord and our Heavenly Father. And really, I don't think I've even begun to really come to the exact knowledge of how dependent I really am. But I think I'm going to be learning more and more as time goes on. Because some things have been such a trying nature, has tried me more in certain things than I feel that I've ever been tried. And in many ways, on many different things. And not just praying for people who are sick and afflicted, That is one part of it. But other is activities of life and different responsibilities I've had. And when I think upon this, I can see how necessary it is for me to acknowledge Him and to thank Him when He does something for me. And sometimes we're quick to thank, and then I think other times maybe we're a little slower to thank Him. And we must be quick to learn to thank God for what we receive. Because if we're quick to do it, maybe His ear will be more attentive when we want something next time or need Him. As Isaiah said, seek ye the Lord while He's near. So we need to do this. Or seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near. I believe it's the wording of it. Maybe I should turn to it and not misquote something like this. 55th chapter of the Isaiah 6 verse. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and call ye upon Him while He is near. Be not wise in thine own eyes. And this maybe is human nature. Not only that, it is a part of the downfall of man to be wise in his own eyes. So we're not to be wise in our own eyes. We're to fear the Lord, and then lastly depart from evil, whatever it may be. And we're living in a day, as Scripture foretells our day, it said an evil day. And we're living in a day of great evil. There has been evil since the very beginning, when Adam and Eve walked in the Garden of Eden and were deceived. When deception entered in, evil entered in and deceived man. And since then we've had it. But we're living in a time now that's called an evil time. And I think it will, as it unfolds, you'll see this more and more. And really, sometimes I can hardly believe what man has devised in his heart to do. And the imaginations of his heart all too often are evil continually. Even as they were in the days of Noah, the days that preceded the flood. And that's why God was going to wipe off every soul on the face of this earth. He was so sorry that He even bothered to make man. But we know a few souls found grace in the sight of God and were sufficiently righteous that the Lord God saved them. And we're told by Jesus Christ, as it was in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. In other words, there's going to be a similarity to events that preceded the flood. There will be similar events preceding the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we must be aware of these things that are taking place. It says, when you see these certain things taking place, when you see these things being fulfilled, when you see a day when this natural love will wax cold, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. When you see these things, don't forget it. Be alert. And really, the pure natural love of man is waxing cold. And yet Moroni of old told us to pray with all the energy of your heart that you might be filled with the pure love of Jesus Christ. And there again is one of the great answers to the problems of man today upon the face of this earth. I would like to turn to 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter, and just read one verse. It will be verse 9. The advice of a father to his son. And thou, Solomon, my son, and Solomon wrote these other things that I read from. And so the father of Solomon said, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. And so tonight, we should know the God of our fathers. We should know this. And serve Him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. not because we have to, but because it is a thing to do. It is a commandment of Jesus Christ to do this. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and he searches every heart, and no matter who it is, he knows every heart in this room tonight, and he knows every heart upon the face of this earth. And listen to this, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. And all too often, even people with their mouth shut are imagining evil things. And yet the Lord understands every one of those things. In fact, he could bear every thought that you have before somebody else if he so chose to do it. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, if you really seek him. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Now this is kind of harsh, but it's plain. That is the justice of God. He not only has asked, but he demands our obedience. But if he don't get us, he can cast us off forever. I'd like to turn to part of our ability or responsibility in seeking the Lord. And this is in 3 Nephi 6:19 through 24 on page 642. Again, the words of Jesus Christ very plainly spoken. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. There is the promise. Just ask. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. But that verse I want you to tie with the others I've read tonight. Because if you really wish to be successful in these verses, in these words, then you must apply this other as well to your life. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And of course we know faith is vital. We know keeping his commandments is vital. And he that findeth to him, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And then he goes on to say, or what man is there among you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? If he ask fish, will he give him a serpent? No, man don't do this way. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And again, there is qualifications. Like I said, we have to ask in faith, believing. But again, he can give. But listen to this verse, 24. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and prophets. Do unto others as they have them do unto you. Putting it in a little different wording. That is one of the responsibility of being able to having our prayers received of God. I'd like to turn back to the Old Testament again in the book of Psalms, this time the 34th Psalm. And this is starts with verse 7, and then I'll read down through 11, and then I'll skip down to 17. Here is a familiar passage of Scripture to most everyone. But I thought how well it ties with all these other things tonight. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Now I have brought out earlier about the importance of knowing the fear of the Lord. And here is a promise to those that really fear this heavenly being. It says, the angels of the Lord encampeth round about them. So maybe that's more important than you ever realize. And delivereth them. It just didn't stop there. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Try it. If you don't believe. As in the book of Alma there, I believe the 16th chapter, where it tells you to plant that seed. And when it begins to grow, you've tried it this much, and you know it works, and you've got knowledge this far. But you don't have a perfect knowledge. You're just exercising further faith then. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. And oftentimes we find fearing the Lord. And this is the believers in God and Jesus Christ. It says, ye his saints. But we're still to fear the Lord. But let me tell you, every soul on the face of this earth better fear the Lord, whether he believes or not. For there is no want to them that fear him. Now really, this is another thing we're going to find that we're more and more dependent upon the Lord for. Because I'm certain that the time will come wherein man will be sustained by God, not only spiritually, but physically. The time will come. Now the children of Israel were sustained for a period of time, but we're going to be dependent upon the Lord more and more. He has promised, I wasn't going to read that one, but I'll read it in the 37th Psalm in the 19th verse. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. There is the evil time mentioned. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. So there is the promise, see. And really, we don't know what might happen next. We think we have a pattern. And they talk about patterns and weather and all this. And it was only about 2 years ago we had one of the driest years we'd ever had, and then we had one of the wettest years, winter, and then we turn around and it seems like we start parching again, so we don't have any set patterns or anything going according to a previous happening. We have surprises almost constantly. We have tornadoes where tornadoes weren't even heard of, but rarely, even in the state of Wyoming, they had them this year, wherein it is not common to have them there, at least in areas where they had them. So we really can't say that things are following some set pattern, because they're surprises. And Jesus Christ said it would be in diverse places, great earthquakes in diverse places. In other words, that's places that might not be common. So we really don't know what might take place. And if any of you read anything recently on these earthquake faults in California, some of these there along this gigantic fault have not moved. Others has moved and is building up tremendous pressure. And one day when that moves, who knows what will happen. And it's supposed to move. If it gradually moved a little each year, then it don't build up the pressure. But it isn't doing that in one place. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And this is encouraging. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And so often that is here. Hearken, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And as you've heard me say before, and I'll say it again, it didn't say there would be a time of no trouble for us. It just said the Lord can deliver you out of your troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Those are really sorry for their wrongdoings. But really, is man today sorry for his wrongdoings? Are we as a church so really thoroughly penitent for our wrongdoings? I'll let you each answer the question yourself. And save us such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And so it says we will have troubles and we'll have afflictions. And as one that you've heard me mention many times, and you'll hear it again, But Alma 17:3, it says that whosoever puts their trust in the Lord will be supported in their trials and their troubles and their afflictions and be lifted up at the last day. And this is one passage of verse, even though I'm just bringing out a part of that verse. It gives me courage to know that there's a God who cares that much. But there is a qualification there, and that's trust in the Lord. Now, we find, along with this broken heart and a contrite spirit, the importance of coming to God and Jesus Christ in a repentant attitude. And I'd like to read from 3 Nephi, the 5th chapter, on page 636, and this starts at verse 66. And Jesus Christ said, "And behold, I've given you the law and the commandments of my Father." And I've touched upon these things tonight, the importance of keeping the commandments. And he says, "I've given these things to you," as he taught these people of old, "that you shall believe in me." That's why he gave them these commandments. "And that ye shall repent of your sins and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit." And broken in is those who are humbly and thoroughly penitent. And we find broken, that's contrite, and broken is subdued and crushed. About had him turned around there. But contrite is those that are really humbly and completely penitent. They're sorry for what they've done. And it says, "You shall repent of your sins and come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Behold, ye have the commandments before you." We got the commandments before us. "And the law is fulfilled." That is the law of Moses. It was a law of types and shadows that pointed them to the law of Jesus Christ. "Therefore, come unto me and be ye saved." Come unto Jesus Christ. He is the one we're to follow. "For verily I say unto you, that except ye shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now this involves 66 through the 68th verses there, in case you would like to complete reference. Now again, these seem like harsh words, and yet they're plain words, because they show the responsibility of man. Each one of us, you and I together, of our responsibility to God. I would like to turn to the 37th Psalm and start reading with verse 3 and down through maybe 10. "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." And so this looks like man can be taken care of when we rely upon God and fear Him as we've been told to do and put our trust in Him. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him." Now see, we need to be a committed people and to commit our way unto the Lord. "And He shall bring it to pass," if we really trust in Him. "And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday." If we do these other things, then will come our righteousness as the light. It'll be that bright. And our judgment and our ability to take care of the problems of life will be the same as the noonday, the easiest part of the day as far as light goes. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." And again, this is one of the great attributes that man needs, is patience. And it says that trying of your faith worketh patience. So one way or the other, we will arrive with more patience, because the trying of one faith will arrive at more. "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And this oft times is a trial to man, especially those who may be trying to serve the Lord, when they see a person who really isn't doing too much, maybe prospering more than they. And I've seen it with my own eyes. I'm a first-hand witness of it. Maybe not always that way, but I have seen it done, and I think you each have. But it says, don't fret yourself over these things. This really is unimportant. Cease from anger, there is what's important. And forsake wrath, there's another important thing. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't follow after these evil things. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. It won't be there. And then it goes on to say, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. But it won't be the haughty, it won't be the proud. It will be the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You find this in another passage of Christ's teachings as well. But I want to back up to this 10th verse. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. And if we want to really turn to a passage of Scripture that points that up, let's turn to Malachi, the 4th chapter, and start reading with verse 1 and read down through 3. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud. What did I say about pride? All the proud. And all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And I think anybody is aware of what a stubble field is, and wheat or that, and how when a fire goes through, it's destroyed. And it says here, and the day cometh that shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, they'll be destroyed, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Now that is the state of the wicked. I'll tell you what, that's an awful fearful looking a thing to look forward to, for sure. But unto you that fear my name shall a son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, none other than the great time of the millennium. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Now I'm reading some of these things in kind of a reverse order tonight, because now I'm going to read in the 3rd chapter of Malachi, starting with verse 13 and reading down through 18, because this ties so well with this particular reading. And here is his statement. It says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. So some people are saying stout words against the Lord in this particular reading. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Like he was talking to the Lord, well, what are we speaking against thee, Lord? Ye have said, the Lord answering, it is vain to serve God. And why was it vain to serve God? And what profit is it that we've kept his ordinance and that we've walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And I guess about everybody's heard this sometime or maybe many times in his life. Why we say, well, look, I'm doing all I can do, and look what's happened to me. Maybe you've even said it yourself. I don't know. It don't make any difference tonight who has or hasn't, because I'm not sitting here in the judgment seat. But what makes a difference if we shouldn't do that, period? That's what makes the difference. And so we might get to the place, especially under very trying conditions that we would live under. You might get to the place in your mind where you say, well, really, it really isn't all that important. Look what the Lord's letting happen to us. Look what's happening to me. Look what's happened to my family. Look what's happened to my friends, of my church members. Or my neighbors, look at this terrible thing has happened. Or like up here a couple of years ago, or a year and a half ago, this family lost three of their children in a camper. And they've got a rather marvelous outlook on life. They've got another baby now, maybe you've read about him. But they lost three children, which would be quite a trauma. And one might say, well, look what happened to them. And I've even heard say, well, really, can God really care with that kind of a thing happening, a God of love? Of course he cares. He cares for every person that ever lived upon the face of this earth. God knows and cares and is a loving God. And why something happens like that, I don't know why. And I don't claim to have the answer. But I do know, no matter what your trial is, if we rely upon God and Jesus Christ, he can sustain you. And I know that of a certainty. I know it the same as Alma knew it. But I may not know it as great as Alma knew it, because he had far more experiences than I have had before this date, at least. I don't know what I'll have in the future. I may have many experiences that will make that point really a real point to me. But I know that God can sustain us. And we must realize that it's in him that we put our trust. And now we call the proud happy. And I thought, if ever a time that Malachi could have looked to our day, then maybe he was looking to our day. And he may have been partly referencing that day. But it does fit today. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. And that has happened and is happening. And lots of times we see people of this day who are very proud in their abilities, their capacities, and what they can do. And many times people call them, why, they must be so happy being able to do this so well. And yet some of these very same persons, one a great actor, chose to take his own life. And people thought highly of this actor across the nation. And I'm not saying plus or minus on this, because that's not mine again. But really, what is vital is a lot of these people maybe are not as happy in their pride as people think. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard him. And a book of remembrance was written before him that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And so there is what is important. That we fear the Lord, that we speak often one to another, and we find over Moroni 6:6, where the people met together oft to fast and to pray, and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And it's vital that we speak one with another concerning the welfare of our soul. That's why we're here tonight. If there was no such a thing as the welfare of our souls, we might as well be somewhere else. If there is no such a thing as salvation, we might as well be somewhere else. But there is such a thing. And like Paul said, if in this life only we had hope, we would have all been the most miserable. But he went on to say that this isn't the only hope we have in this life. There is hope beyond the grave. And that's the hope of Christian peoples everywhere that's stressed. Is the hope beyond the grave. And another beautiful thing is this book of remembrance that will be written. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his son that serveth him. And so the day will come when they will be spared. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So he will judge one day. Now I like this one in 1 Nephi, the 7th chapter, and verse 34. found on page 75, and I'll read down through verse 42. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it be so that the fullness of his wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved, even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. And how that ties so well with Malachi, the fourth chapter in the first verse. Wherefore the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be as by fire. Behold, my brethren, I say unto you that these things must shortly come, yea, even blood and fire and vapor of smoke must come, and it must needs come, must needs be upon the face of the earth. And it cometh unto men according to the flesh, if it so be that they will harden their hearts against the Holy One of Israel. For behold, the righteous shall not perish. For the time surely must come that all they